Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Sean Broderick, natural resource analyst over at Weiss Ratings. Now, Sean, it's been a couple weeks, actually probably just over a month since we had you last on the show, and not that we want to spend too much time on short-term trading, but I do have to ask you, today's action, we're seeing a complete flip of what we've seen pretty much this whole year, where small cap, tech, those are leading higher, and commodities pretty much across the board are getting hit. Now, it's not just a little pullback, but that being said, it's also not a waterfall decline that we're seeing, very much still close to a lot of the highs for almost every commodity out there. What's your takeaway from this different day of trading for 2022?
Yeah, well, I don't really read too much into it. It's a lower volume day. There are big sell-offs, is like people are grabbing gains, but the institutions aren't selling. That's really what you can read in the having low volume, is that the institutions are fine to sit tight. I don't blame them. I think that the picture looks very good for commodities here. We are continuing the rotation into commodities that started 2 years ago. And we're also seeing the rotation from growth into value, which kind of goes concurrently with a rotation into commodities, but it's somewhat different. That's where you want stocks that pay dividends and like that kind of thing, which are many energy stocks. So, and I mean, if you just look around the world and here at home, there are plenty of great reasons for these things to be going higher. But heck, when you see steel selling off just after President Biden announced that, you know, with this big infrastructure program has to use U.S. steel, you know, that just doesn't make any sense. So probably the news was priced in. There's some profit taking. That's okay. Maybe it'll give us a chance to actually buy something cheap, because I'll tell you, there are things that I've wanted to buy recently and I just haven't been able to do it because they've been on such terrific runs, you know. So I personally would love a pullback. I would love a pullback because that would give me the chance to pick up some nice things on the cheap.
So, Sean, when it comes to this environment where money has clearly rotated into commodities, but balancing that out with all the dire and negative comments we're hearing from markets and economies broadly, is there a breaking point where if we do drop into a longer correction, and if, quite frankly, there just isn't that much more new money being created, that a natural top almost needs to be had for commodities because of all the worries out there?
In the short term, I could see that. But the longer term forces will come through, right? I mean, when you look at it, I mean, things have been on a great run anyway. You can see why people might want to take some gains, especially with all the worry warts out there. And there are things happening where, especially with interest rates going up, that kind of thing, you know, that kind of puts a scare in, for example, the housing market. You know, you can see why people would be upset. Then again, new home sales actually went up in the most recent month, even when people expected that data to be down. We have seen topping in certain markets, used cars, for example. Those prices are starting to ease off again. You would think housing prices would follow used car prices because that's, you know, people are making those same kind of buying decisions for, you know, this is a longer term thing that I need to own. It's a big, big ticket item, that kind of thing. So, you know, maybe we'll see a short term top. I don't think it'll be more than that. If I was thinking that, I'd be doing things much differently in our portfolios. That said, I mean, in Gold and Silver Trader, we took three rounds of gains last week. There were nice fat gains. Two of them were stocks that should be going up with the price of natural gas, but they'd clearly stopped going up. So those stocks that hit a short-term top, I decided to rotate into something else that looks like it might have more run, because nothing is more frustrating for my subscribers than for the things we're talking about to be going up and the stocks that we're holding not to be enjoying that. So, you know, I mean, yeah, short-term top, it doesn't really worry me that much. I expect we'll have a much nicer longer run for all the reasons that we talk about every time.
Sean, let's talk a little bit about energy because it's been a focus ever since the war in Ukraine started. But even before then, oil was on a wild ride back in 2020 when it dropped into negative territory, then just kept on climbing. And then that war in Ukraine pushed it even higher. Today, crude is down over $5, still over $100 a barrel. The volatility in the energy sector, how are you playing that?
Yeah. Isn't that something, right? I mean, but let's look at the positive side. I mean, crude oil, as you and I talk, the U.S. crude oil benchmark is down 4.8%. It's still at $102. Like, wow, are you kidding me? And yeah, it's made a series of lower highs. But if you look at a chart since, say, December, you can see the uptrend is still in place, and this is coiling up. This is coiling up, which is what you expect to see in a bullish move anyway. Nothing moves in a straight line. And so, of course, it is going to back and fill and coil up and build what I call this like energy field, where it just absorbs all the big gains that it made before. And then it starts to head higher again. When that breakup will be, I don't know.
Sean, what about driving down into the energy stocks then? Because a lot of the oil stocks have done well. Large down to the juniors. Is there still room to run higher? What are you focused on when it comes to oil stocks?
Okay, that's a good question. Because things we sold were kind of natural gas related and they weren't going up with natural gas. That said, there are things that are going higher. So if you're choosy, you know, I think you can do pretty well. Like, for example, if you look at EQT Corporation, which is quite natural gas leverage, and I wish I owned it. That's actually one that I didn't buy. I actually remember thinking about buying this back in March. And there, oh, look at that run. It's going to pull back. It didn't pull back. You know, you just got to put up with that. So there's still good things to buy, but again, a short-term top in at least some stocks is probably going to be something that we're going to have to deal with. One we took gains on, nice gains, as a matter of fact, is called Cheniere Energy Partners. And what they do is they ship natural gas overseas, liquefy the natural gas, ship it out of there. And so they have these ports in the U.S. where they do that. But the past couple weeks, even though natural gas has been moving higher, this has not moved higher. So it's obviously into some kind of correction phase. And so I said, you know what? Well, I can put that money to use somewhere else. So I think you can do okay in a broad trend, but this is really a stock picker's market. You're going to have to drill down. You're going to have to find the ones that you think really have more outperformance left in them. But longer term, and I'm not even talking multi-year. I mean the rest of this year. What's going to change in Europe that is suddenly going to make natural gas unattractive? Do we think peace is going to break out? I don't think so. I think that we're in for some kind of long slog there because, you know, Putin can't admit defeat. And at the same time, he actually can't win. So it looks like things are going to be locked in there for quite some time, which means there'll be more sanctions, more upheaval and disruption in the global markets. And that's just one area. We just saw Libya shut down exports from its largest oil and gas field. They'll come back, of course. But, you know, it's a volatile world and things are just in time and, like, you know, really stretched supply lines and all that stuff. That's the kind of environment where you can see things boil to the surface, like we've already seen this year in things like nickel and platinum and like stuff like that. We might see some outrageous upside moves in plenty of commodities. It's just I'm not sure exactly which ones. I am making some bets for my subscribers because some things look, we could talk about agriculture, for example. I just think the upside potential there is just enormous, even though we've seen great runs in these stocks and in these commodities already.
Okay, so you're being selective in the energy sector. When it comes to agriculture, then what do you like? Because you are right. A lot of agricultural goods have gone on a pretty impressive run already.
Well, The thing is, the agricultural industry in the U.S. is so small, there's actually not a lot to choose from. I was just listening to someone on Bloomberg yesterday, Bloomberg Radio, I mean. Her point was that the combined energy and agriculture sectors in the S&P 500 as a component of the S&P 500 is like less than 6%, which when you see that like energy is only 3.7%, you know, it's like tiny. And meanwhile, you have tech is like at 28%. And I will get to your question in a bit, but what we're seeing is a great rotation of money. This is a thing I think that I talked about last time, where we are seeing the rotation out of growth into value. I mean, everyone's talking about, what's the stock they're talking about? Twitter, for example. Okay, like, you know, will Elon Musk buy it? If he wants to be fool enough to buy it, let him. Because that thing doesn't make money. Yeah, they have increasing revenues. They don't make money. And so in a rising interest rate environment, that's exactly the kind of stock that gets hurt. Whereas in energy and agriculture, stocks like ADM, stocks like Mosaic, they are just printing money. They are cash flow machines. And so they are going to do very, very well in this environment. Now, we already own both of those, but it's not a big sector. It's actually a very small sector. And so this is part of the thing. I mean, in fact, if you what's the name of the company that like Bayer bought? What was it, 2 years ago? And they make like fertilizer and like seeds and like stuff like that. So now if like you wanted that play, you'd have to buy Bayer, which is a German drug company. And that's only, you know, partly in this whole sector. It's like a backdoor entry into it. So it's very, very small. And so when Wall Street takes notice of this, and I'm still not sure they have, when they really start to pay attention to this, the money flow into these things, into agriculture and into energy still, despite the big runs we've had, energy is very, very small as a percentage of the S&P 500. The flows into these things is just going to be enormous. And so that's the kind of big trend, because I like to play the big trends, as you know, that's the big trend that I'm looking to get ahead of, because I just think that's going to be a big payday for my subscribers.
Yeah, well, look at the flow that we saw into nickel on those couple trading days before the LME shut it down. As much as we're talking energy, everyone is focused on oil and gas. There's also the uranium side of things that is doing well. The uranium stocks have bounced back after a little bit of weakness, and broadly, uranium is priced higher. What's your thoughts on the uranium sector and any opportunities you see there?
I think uranium stocks are still way too cheap. Now, I am long a couple of them, and again, this is the thing where there's so few to pick from in the U.S. You really have to look overseas to get more, you know. We are seeing shifts in the U.S. We're seeing shifts overseas. They're now talking about extending the life of like nuclear power plants in like different countries around the world that already have them. I think that the Russian invasion of Ukraine has brought it home to plenty of countries, not just European countries, that you have to be as independent as possible, not depend on external sources that can, you know, really put their fist around your neck and squeeze. And nuclear power is a great way to do that. It's sure, it's a huge initial investment to actually get the plant up and running, but once you do that, you're really set. That's a great thing to have. And the new plants are so much safer. And, you know, I mean, I think we're finally getting people to accept that, that older plants, they were actually more dangerous because they were built that way. They actually wanted them to produce the material for, like, atomic bombs and stuff. So they were built with that in mind. Nowadays, you can build them much, much safer. So I think people will really come around to that. And we are seeing uranium being talked about as a strategic metal now, which will mean more government money for it. So I'm looking at uranium stocks, and I'm just seeing dirt cheap stuff all over the place. Now, We have had a nice move, so I won't complain too much. But I just think that the move that could be coming in this could be so much bigger.
So then which stocks do you like? It sounds like you like the setup of almost all the uranium stocks. How are you being selective in the uranium sector?
Well, I think you have to own Cameco, right? That's the big North American producer. Then you can take UR Energy, for example. UEC isn't a producer yet, but it's a past producer. It could switch them on if the price gets high enough. And guess what? The price is high enough that it's in the zone that UEC said, you know what? We could actually switch plants on right now. I think the next couple of like quarterly meetings, people will be looking to see what they say. Are we going to turn production back on? Because the price has actually advanced to the point where they could definitely turn those plants back on and just get right back into business. Or else you could just get one of the funds, you know. Of course, you could buy something like Yellowcake PLC, or else there's Sprott just took over the old uranium fund. I'm blanking on the name of it now. Well, it's called the Sprott Uranium Fund now.
Yeah,
you know,
Sprott Physical Uranium Trust.
Right. So, like, that's an easy way to play it. But the stock should move much further and faster than uranium itself. They aren't right now. You know, but I mean, as things move along, there are plenty of good names in this industry, especially if you look at places like Australia. But I hate to recommend anything to Australia on the air because things can change, you know. So let's just leave those alone for now. But like, at least own Cameco. Maybe consider UEC. They're probably going to go back into production. Certainly consider UR Energy. These are the ones that will help get you there, and they have U.S. listings and all that stuff. At least start with that. And, of course, there could be much bigger things to come, which will take these, like, small stocks. Now, the problem with a small explorer is what they're really looking for is a buyout, right? Because it takes so long to develop any kind of mine. So as an investor, what you're trying to bet is, like, which one of these is the one that the next company is going to buy, you know? I mean, like, are they going to buy Denison? I have no idea. it's been acting like it's really improved. Like, say, since January, it's really been on a nice run. Of course, I just called it up, and it's down 5%. Go ahead, make a liar out of me. I don't own that one. I don't care. So I don't know what's going on there. But once you get, like, Cameco, maybe a few others, then you can start to make some bets, small bets, I would emphasize, because what you're really in this for is bragging rights. That's the way I look at it. So you just want to be able to own that one that like went up 300 to 500%, which can happen in this kind of environment. I was in the last uranium bull market. I think you were too. That was an amazing time. And I think I knew it had topped when I was walking through a conference up in Vancouver. And there was a company that I had seen a couple months before when it was a gold exploration company. And I came back and it was now a uranium exploration company. And I think at that point, that's the point when I said, okay, that's it. When like a gold explorer can suddenly become a uranium explorer, that just means that people are just doing crazy stuff. We're nowhere near that now. We are so far from that, that we have so much further to go. Probably years worth of good times in this industry. And so I think that's one of the reasons why I like uranium is just so much exciting potential in it right now that it's really fun to actually look at these stocks now.
Yeah, it is. And we're actually seeing some of the stocks move. But you are right. We're waiting, I think, for a lot of M&A activity to happen because of the fact there are some pretty well-defined assets in the uranium sector that are sitting there. That they seem like they should be taken out, but you look to the majors and they were busy in the last couple of years shutting down production, not bringing it back online. So when that M&A will trickle through, who knows? Last question here, more of a big picture question. As we take a step back, you've even alluded to it that interest rates are going up. They've started to hit the used car market, haven't quite trickled down into the home market yet. However, that can take a little bit of time as some people still have some of the lower rates locked in. when do you think these higher rates could actually play a bigger role in slowing down the economy and hurting some more individual market sectors?
I don't know. If the Fed has any sense, they won't raise rates so much that it causes another recession. And I get into arguments on Twitter about this. Of course, that is basically the whole point of Twitter, is to get into arguments, right? But there's really little we can do about inflation right now. It's like many external forces, and like people say President Biden should be doing more about inflation. He's not the president of the world. And we have food inflation here, but in other countries, it's much, much worse, you know? And we're actually protected by the US dollar, which is a much longer discussion that I won't go into right now. So there are big global forces that are driving inflation. And I hope that the Fed has the humility to admit that there's many things that they can't control, and they have the spine to push back against all the voices that say they need to yank rates higher. I know rates are too low right now, but I think that the equilibrium is probably around 2%, not 3.5% like some people have been talking about. I don't know where the real equilibrium is, and I hope that the Fed has the smarts to actually not yank them too high, too fast, and just let things go slowly until they can see things start to calm down. And then we'll see the price of cars come down, the price of homes moderate at least. Just speaking about cars for a second, I mean, I saw a great chart. I think I posted it on Twitter. Why am I mentioning that stupid platform so much? I don't even like Twitter. Anyway, so, but it like showed the like profit margin that like car makers were getting on cars now. It's so insane to what they were getting just a few years ago. They're just giving themselves much bigger and much bigger profit margins. So at least some of this inflation isn't coming from the raw materials. It's from the companies along the way. Will higher interest rates make them decide to lower their profit margins? I'm not sure that it will. And I think that they might want, you know, higher profit margins for all sorts of reasons, and they aren't going to give them up easily. So we'll see how it goes with interest rates. I am hoping for the best. We have a lot of things going for the global economy and the U.S. economy. I mean, we have record low unemployment. That's actually inflationary, too. We can talk about that. You know, we've actually seen wage hikes, not enough to keep up with inflation, but the first real wage hikes many industries have seen in like years. So there's a lot of things going on that are good for people. I hate all this negativity we're like seeing all the time. Things are rolling along. We'll just have to see how it works out. But I'm in the market because I think that we have some good times ahead of us if you're in the right sectors and industries. I think I've made my point that I'm not a buyer of tech at this point, and I'm not a buyer of anything that doesn't have cash flow, because higher interest rates are coming. How high, you and I have just discussed, I don't really know. And that means those companies that have to borrow money as a matter of course of doing business are in for a world of hurt. Those that have plenty of free cash flow and can hopefully raise prices or are leveraged to inflation even better, they're going to do extraordinarily well. And you'll find many of those in the natural resource area.
All right, John, we're going to wrap it up here. Big shift this year. Started even more the tail end of last year into some of these more defensive plays and commodities. And now we're just trying to make sense of how much higher everything can run in the face of all these negative calls and recession forecasts. John, great chatting with you as always, buddy. We'll chat in another couple weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thanks, you too.